Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Lou Dai. Lou is currently a senior director of technical standards at Qualcomm. Previously, he was senior director of engineering, leading Qualcomm's SoC design verification team and front-end methodologies and initiatives. Lou is the chair of Accelera Systems Initiative and serves on the board of directors of RISC-V International. Welcome to the podcast, Lou.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So, Lou, can you tell us what first brought you to the semiconductor industry?
It's actually, in some sense, it's by accident. Just like many other young kids out there, I was a clueless college student. I wanted to major in something that I like, and I really didn't know what I like. And I liked physics. I liked a bunch of humanities, such as history, music, and art. But my dad told me that I need to major in something that it's not going to make him, you know, pay for my future expense. So he kind of talked me into majoring in computer science as a compromise, because he's paying part of my tuitions. So I did pick computer science, in some sense, just to try it out while I'm still taking other classes that I like. And it just happens that even though I didn't know much about computer science, I liked it. And then I started my computer career after college. And I joined Intel as a software engineer. I guess I didn't know that a software engineer probably, should go somewhere else. Intel is more of a hardware company. But I liked the offering at the Intel, because they offer a kind of a rotation program for the new college graduates. So I moved around in the, the CAD departments, the software departments, CPU architecture, and I even had a stint in technical marketing. But I eventually settled in design verifications, and then I spent majority of my career in kind of design verification domains. And after almost 30 years, early this year, I joined the standards team in Qualcomm full time. I have been doing standards while I was fighting the tape-out deadlines on product development, but now I become a full-time member for that standards team.
Oh, that's an interesting story. So what was the reason why you pursued the technical standards position at Qualcomm? What interested you?
I have been doing standards while I was doing kind of a product development. I've been working on Accelera for many years. I really enjoy the work while working on the standards. This is, a small percentage of my work, of my full-time job. But when this opportunity came that I could turn that into more of a full-time job and expand my standards participation beyond Accelera, so I'm now the Qualcomm's lead for all semiconductor-related standards activities. That allows me to explore some of the interest I had early on in my career. And the kind of things that I wish to do, but as a product guy, you have to fight the tape-out deadlines, right? You have to make quite a bit of compromise based on schedule. But the standards work allow me to have a little bit more focus on the R&D side. And also my background in product development, also I think it also helps, because I'm more in tune with the schedules and deadlines. So I can also push the standards people to sometimes to settle down a little bit and keep the schedule in check. I always believe that when you start your career, you can start on something you don't hate, because you probably don't know what you need to do too well yet. You need to try it out. But after a while, when you are getting closer to the end of your career, you really have to work on something you love. And the standards work is part of the work I love. So I'm very glad I'm able to do that as a full-time job. And it's a big transition for me as well.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, your work is so much part of your life. If you're really not in love with it, that's a difficult thing to do. So what is the current state of industry collaboration in regards to standards development?
The standards body is always a good level playing field for, you know, the all the vendors, all the users, to everybody work together to have hopefully the best technical solutions, and also the best feasible solution for the market. Instead of some company trying to dominate by just pushing their own solutions, we have a platform for everybody to work together and to develop a solution that is both for the market and also hopefully also best for the companies putting out the technology as well, so that they can make profit out of it. So, and also the standards organization also allows the collaboration among the different industries and among the different countries. So we have different standards organizations on the Silicon side, such as Accelera, more on the front end, or SI2, more on the back end. And we also have SEMI and ESD Alliance, more on the equipment side. And then you have also IEEE to kind of help us to bring the standards more across the board to have more of a international recognition. So all those bodies work together, and some specialize in one versus the other, some more specializing bringing a kind of de facto standards to the market sooner, while others they are more specializing dealing with the geopolitical challenges among the standards organizations.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the unique thing about the semiconductor industry is it's filled with so many smart people because we, you know, solve some really, really difficult problems. But still, collaboration is critical. I think collaboration is the reason why semiconductors are at the forefront of everything, you know, around the world today, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, especially in the past couple of years, there's a lot of geopolitical challenge, and, there are countries, start to pushing for the national standards, while historically, we have proven international standards is the right way to go.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what are some of the major accomplishments for Accelera this year in 2022?
So for Accelera, I mean, we always have multiple standards working in parallels. But for 2022, we have a few standards that also went through Accelera and went into the IEEE phase of the standardization process. So SAEDI is the our IP security assurance standards. So that standard has been accepted by IEEE and it going through the IEEE process right now. And IP exact is another standard. That standard started from Accelera and has been IEEE standards for a while, but now it goes through the update within IEEE, but IEEE asked Accelera to carry out some of those update and technical activities, and that also has been completed, and it becomes a new iteration of the IEEE standards. We also putting a lot more focus on the AMS side. This has been an area that, again, in our design verification conference and also in DAC, a lot of people were asking, you have done a lot of advancement on the digital domains. What about AMS? And where do we fit in? So we have heard the feedback from our community. So we put on a lot more focus on the panels at the at DVCons and at DAX. And we also have active standards work going on the AMS side, including both the system value system C side. But latest, we are bringing the UVM standards to include the AMS domain as well. And also this year is kind of the transition year. Many parts of the world, we are going to the in-person meetings now. So we have in-person conference in Europe now, and we have in-person conference in India. And that actually both, I believe both conference has set all-time record for attendance. I'm sure that a lot of people are kind of really interested in coming back together and work together in person now.
Yeah, I've attended quite a few conferences in the last couple months, and I would say we are back to pre-pandemic levels, if not more so, as you said. So I think next year is going to be a very big live conference year. But what can we look forward to from Accelera next year and the coming years?
Well, the first of the new year, we have DVCon in the U.S. In March, and we are planning that as an in-person conference. We haven't had in-person conference for a while, so it's perfect for us to start the year with an in-person conference. There's one good thing coming out of the pandemic, maybe because of the kind of a lockdown of the pandemic, made a lot of people really want to have the in-person conference more specific to their geographical locations, because due to the travel restrictions, they want to have an in-person conference, but maybe it was more constrained for traveling. So we actually going to have a DVCon in Japan coming in June, and it's going to be the first DVCon in Japan, and it's the first DVCon in Japan in person as well. So we are very excited for that one. We're also in discussions on a couple more in-person DVCon conferences in locations that's previously did not have a DVCon. And so we are expanding our outreach for our standards as well as our user community. And on the technical front, Portable Stimulus is having a pretty major update. It is major enough that the working group is kind of undecided whether they want to call that, what number they're going to attach to it, because as a major update, you probably want to have a bigger number. That one is coming likely early in the year, the first half of the year. And functional safety, that working group has been publishing white papers, and their white paper is actually detailed enough that I will soon, we're going to soon to see the white paper turning into a actual spec and a standard now. I believe we have talked about there is a new working group called CDC, Clock Domain Crossing, and that working group, it was in the proposed working group phase. It will soon be announced that it's going to be a full-fledged working groups. So stay tuned. We're going to have a public announcement soon. We are continuing to looking at the new opportunities. And this CHIPS Act from the Congress is actually going to present a lot of challenges as well as opportunities in the semiconductor industries. Some areas such as, how do we ensure the safety and security of the supply chain with a new geopolitical challenge and the different constraints that the government is putting on, how does the industry to continue to work together and navigate this new water? And I'm actually hopeful that those challenges will actually present opportunities for us to develop new technologies.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think it's going to be an exciting year. And the live conferences, I will see you at DBCon in San Jose again. We generally see each other there. And, you know, if anybody wants to get more information about Accelera, I believe the website is accelera.org, correct?
That's right. Yes. And from there, you will also be able to reach our community sites, and that including a lot of downloads and video trainings there as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been working with Accelera on SemiWiki for more than 10 years now. It's been a great experience, and it's great working with you, Lou, and it's nice speaking with you. And we'll hope to talk to you again next year.
Great. I will see you in person. Hey, Daniel, thank you for having me. Merry Christmas and bye-bye.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.